Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio with cannabis, hemp, and marijuana news internationally, politics, and sometimes some okay sound quality. Yeah, let's give this a shot. Let's get this on a roll right here and start internationally. All right. From Leafly.com, Costa Rica just legalized medical marijuana. Here's what the new law allows. Recreational weed is still prohibited, but that could also change soon. On Tuesday, Costa Rica joined the growing list of nations allowing medical access to cannabis. The law Expedite 21388 also allows for the production and processing of hemp plants, but it does not allow or regulate recreational use. Recreational cannabis remains prohibited in most of Latin America, except Uruguay, which became the first country in the world to legalize adult use in 2013. Costa Rica joins the following Latin American countries in allowing medical marijuana: Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, Mexico, Panama, Paraguay, and Peru. 1.7 million tourists visit Costa Rica per year, mostly from the U.S. and Canada. The industry pulls in about $1.7 billion per year thanks to thrilling ecotourism and gorgeous tropical views. Both lawmakers and citizens believe the more welcoming approach to weed will boost tourism and agriculture across the nation. But the new law does not address the question of whether medical marijuana cardholders from other nations will be permitted to possess or purchase medicine in Costa Rica. Detailed guidelines for applying to be a medical marijuana patient are expected as soon as May. To overcoming presidential resistance to medical marijuana, Costa Rica's medical bill had a long road to ratification. President Carlos Alvarado vetoed an earlier version in January, citing the need for individual cultivation and consumption limits. President Alvarado is on his way out of office later this year, and both of the candidates battling to replace him are strongly in favor of recreational cannabis. President hopefuls Jose Maria Figueres and Rodrigo Chavez will compete in a runoff election April 3rd. A recreational bill has been sitting in Costa Rica's Congress since last April and appears imminent. That may be why the current president finally budged on the medical bill. After signing, he admitted that legalization would be of great benefit to Costa Rica, since Costa Rica does not allow presidents to serve consecutive four-year terms. He has no reason to lie. President Alvarado may have also been moved by the outcry to his initial resistance. The blowback included a tearful cancer patient whose online video about regaining her appetite and walk again resonated nationwide. But even as he vetoed past versions of the bill, the current president insisted he was in favor of a well-regulated industry. Here's what Costa Rica's new medical marijuana bill allows. The law covers cultivation, harvesting, processing, storage, and transport of medical marijuana and hemp. The Minister of Agriculture will regulate the hemp market. The Minister of Health will regulate the medical cannabis market. Costa Ricans who want medical cannabis access will need a permit. Guidelines for applying will be available by May 2022. Those who cultivate medical marijuana will need to register with the appropriate national health institutions. They may also comply with random and routine inspections by the Costa Rica Drug Institute. All hemp components are legal for food and industrial purposes. Hemp products must test under 1% THC. The new law does not address any regulations for tourists with medical licenses from their home countries. Further details could be available by May. Tracing systems will be gradually implemented to track products throughout the entire cannabis chain from seed to sale. Home cultivation will not be allowed, thanks to, in part, to President Alvarado's January veto. Alvarado feared substance abuse and illicit enterprises. Before signing, the president insisted that all medical cannabis be grown in a professional laboratory and be prescribed by a doctor. Unlicensed cultivars could face 6 to 12 years in prison for illegal cultivation or sale by the Ministry of Agriculture and Livestock, and the Ministry of Health will be fully reinvested in national agencies, law enforcement, and compliance oversight. License fees will be proportional to the size and nature of the business. Permits for research activities will be available through the Ministry of Health, with access and terms to be determined by the nature of the research, cultivation, and business licenses will be valid for 6 years, but can be renewed after a review period. Only one license for cultivation and one license for business per citizen. The global response to the CV-19 hit the Costa Rica's tourism-dependent economy particularly hard. The industry saw 2 million fewer international visitors in 2020 than 2019. While quality of life for residents was a primary factor for lawmakers considering the expedite 21388, the potential revenue the country could make up in exports and tourism was frequently highlighted as a pro of legalization. In 2019, Costa Rica received 3,139,000 international visitors through all modes of entry, of which 166,571 North America, while in 2020, Costa Rica received 1 million international visitors, of which 571 were from North America. With a national workforce of about 211,000 people directly employed by the tourism industry, capacity for over 3 million visitors per year pre-pandemic, the country is searching for ways to cushion the massive losses taken since 2020. Experts estimate a 70% drop in tourism demand, according to the Central Bank of Costa Rica's data. The national GDP decreased by 4.5% in 2020, driven mostly by a 40.7% drop in business for hotels and restaurants. An activist in Costa Rica growing marijuana to treat his son's seizures became okay, that was a picture. Look, radio picture. The race to become the world's top weed destination. Procromer, Costa Rica's trade promotion and exports group, wants a piece of the global cannabis market's $5.7 billion annual revenue. The group has been lobbying for legalization for years, citing opportunities for investment, employment, and improved quality of life for citizens. They project the world cannabis market will be worth $35 billion by 2025. President Alvarado, on his way out of office, remains outspoken about his support for industrial hemp in particular. He says he is confident that it will help agricultural production and economic recovery, but he and other officials are still wary of letting the legal industry grow out of control. The president justified his January veto with concerns that home growing of high THC plants legal would be hard for authorities to regulate. He and others feared that home cultivation could lead to widespread substance abuse while providing cover for illicit producers. Costa Rica's President Carlos Alvarado signed marijuana into law after 3 years of legislative limbo. Zoya Rosavio Pacheco, the lawmaker behind the bill from the start, has assured skeptics that legalization in Costa Rica would not cause a spike in national drug use, and the global data backs up her claim. Studies show that nations that use legalization and harm reduction perform better at preventing drug abuse than nations that take a war on drugs approach. Costa Rica's progress on cannabis dates back to 2016 when attorney Mario Alberto Cedras Salazar arrested and charged with drug trafficking at his home city in Alajuela. He has an early advocate for the plant and publicly protested for his right to grow and use medical marijuana. The Judicial Investigation Organization, the OIJ, said they found enough cannabis on his property to make 5,000 cigarettes or roughly 170 plants. But the OIJ couldn't prove that the cannabis was meant for sale. The judge Carolina Lechon gave a historic ruling that helped set the scene for today's legalization push. She ruled, yes, marijuana cultivation is illegal. Nonetheless, it is not a crime if it is not utilized for sale. Cedras Salazar was cleared of charges, scoring the first big legal win for Costa Rican cannabis lovers. His case, the new medical law, give hope that expanded access and adult use bills will soon be a reality for tourists, ticas, and ticas nationwide. All right. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. And just because I'm in Costa Rica, you know, it's so cool. Okay, next, from PsychologyToday.com, marijuana and amotivational syndrome. A new study showed that as cannabis alters the brain's reward center, regular users begin to anticipate less reward from non-cannabis sources. The study documented that an acute dose of cannabis temporarily reduces the willingness to choose high-effort tasks. There is little evidence regular cannabis causes a lack of motivation, but it exposes people to the amotivational impact of frequent acute doses. People have touted amotivation syndrome as a symptom of excessive cannabis use, but I have always had trouble with this concept. I have watched many adolescents abandon their normal pursuits after discovering cannabis, but no one has shown me how to measure motivation objectively. Doug Perils had said to have asked people to demonstrate they were trying to drop a pillow after multiple contortions while still holding onto the pillow. It became apparent that motivation is an elusive concept, impossible to see or directly measure. Instead of thinking in terms of amotivation, I consider the boredom and loss of interest in activities that characterize many regular users to be a failure to respond to novelty. When nothing is novel, people are less likely to be interested and feel motivated in any particular direction, except, perhaps, to use cannabis again. In addition, when people enter cannabis culture, they often begin looking at the world through a different lens. Changing values and aspirations can withdraw interest from pursuits that no longer hold the same meaning from the science and mystique of cannabis. A clever human study began changing my mind. A delayed monetary reward student study asked college students to press a button when a stimulus appeared on the screen. They were promised either 20 cents or $5 after the test. Depending on their performance MRI of the reward center was conducted during the test, administered ages 20, 22, and 24. Over the 4 years, those whose cannabis use increased the most were found to have decreasing activation of the reward center in anticipation of financial reward. This interesting research suggests that as cannabis alters the brain's reward center, regular users begin to anticipate less reward from non-cannabis sources. Cannabis alters the structure and function of reward circuitry to shift attention and priorities away from previous targets and toward cannabis. This is a prime example of the brain being hijacked. The promise of financial gain began stimulating less activity in their reward center. The study shows how the reward for non-cannabis events is lessened as the reward for cannabis increases. Perhaps the couch lock seen in the heaviest cannabis users is not simply a matter of decreased spontaneous motor activity, but also results from the brain's inability to signal reinforcing rewards for anything not cannabis related. Motivation depends upon the anticipation of reward, and anticipating reward from anything not involving cannabis. The new research. I was familiar with the research showing how rats given THC became, quote, slackers, more likely to choose low effort, low reward tasks instead of high effort, high reward tasks they previously pursued. Now, an article in February 1st, 2022, issue of Psychopharmacology reports a study that reproduced the same slacker results in humans. The study gave women oral placebo or either 7.5 or 15 milligrams of THC and asked them to choose either a low-effort, low-reward task, pressing a button 30 times in 7 seconds with their dominant index finger, or a high-effort, high-reward task, pressing the button 100 times in 21 seconds with their non-dominant pinky finger. The amount of monetary reward depended on the difficulty of each task. After the higher dose of THC, the women were 55% less likely to choose the high-effort, high-reward task and 74% less likely to complete the task they chose. However, slowing of motor speed was particularly responsible for decreased task completion. The most striking result was THC's impact on choices the women made. Example, lower effort to achieve lower reward compared to their choices after receiving a placebo. Whether this regulated from decreased motivation or from anticipating failure to meet with higher demands of the high-effort task is not entirely clear. Still, the result is the same. Women aimed lower achievement and lower reward. One interesting wrinkle should be noted an earlier study using vaporized cannabis with and without CBD found that CBD moderately attenuated THC's lower motivation to choose high-effort, high-reward tasks. It is safe to conclude that an acute dose of cannabis, especially high THC cannabis, temporarily reduces the willingness to choose hard tasks. For the occasional cannabis user, this would be of little consequence. Whether regular use leads to decreased motivation is less clear and much harder to study. On the other hand, regular use does mean individuals repeatedly experiencing the acute impact of THC, therefore are likely choosing low-effort tasks much of the time. All individuals are different in their response to cannabis, but all regular users should be aware of the risk of what can now rightfully be called a motivational syndrome. And the references, association of marijuana use with blunted nucleus accumbens response to reward, Delta 9 THC reduces willingness to exert effort in women. Acute and chronic effects of cannabinoids on effort-related decision-making and reward learning. An evaluation of cannabis a motivational hypothesis from psychopharmacology. Ooh, good to know stuff. You got to, like, understand how cannabis works and put it to your advantage. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, episode 121. From www.snopes.com, did researchers find cannabis compound CBD may prevent, treat COVID-19? In January 2020, at least two studies from different research institutions showed that cannabidiol, CBD, and two other related chemical compounds found in hemp may hold promise in the prevention and/or treatment of COVID-19, published in, found the association between the ingestion of certain non-psychoactive cannabinoids and negative COVID-19 tests, in one case indicating that the hemp compounds CBDA and CBGA may prevent SARS-CoV-2 infection in human cells. In the other study, CBD was shown to inhibit the replication of the virus in infected cells. However, these studies were done in human cells and in mice, not humans. Furthermore, each study tested pure, specially formulated doses of these compounds, not commercially available products with CBD additives. Researchers say that further study is required to determine how or if CBD, CBDA, CBGA can prevent or treat COVID-19 infection in human beings. Now, the origins, Snopes is still fighting an infodemic of rumors and misinformation surrounding the COVID-19 panda. And you can help find out how we've learned how to inoculate yourself against COVID-19 misinformation. Read the latest fact checks about vaccines, submit any question or rumors, advice you encounter, become a founding member, help Snopes hire more fact checkers, and follow the CDC or WHO for guidance on protecting your community from the disease. As the COVID-19 pandas entered its second year, researchers continue to investigate potential therapeutics for the prevention and treatment of the respiratory disease. One such possibility was cannabinol, CBD, a non-psychoactive chemical compound found in cannabis plants. Two studies published in January 2020 showed promise for the use of CBD and two related hemp compounds when it came to infection by the SARS-CoV-2 patented virus that causes COVID-19. Findings were featured in a number of publications and on social media, including a meme. It's true that one study found that cannabinoids CBDA and CDGA may prevent some coronavirus variants from entering human cells, while a second concluded that CBD may prevent the virus from replicating and further worsening infection. However, there are several caveats worth noting before rushing to the local dispensary. Let's explore those. What is that? Oh, is CBD hemp? And a quick water break. All right, thank you. What exactly is CBD and how does it relate to hemp? Hemp and marijuana are both derived from cannabis plants, scientific name Cannabis sativa. The main differences between them being the amount of the psychoactive chemical tetrahydrocannabinol, THC. They contain hemp is a fiber made from marijuana plants that contains no psychoactive components and can be used as a source for a variety of things, from food supplements to cosmetics. With a THC content of less than 0.3%, consuming hemp will not create a high. Cannabinol, or CBD, is a chemical compound found in all cannabis plants, both marijuana and hemp. Typically made from oil found in the plant stalks, leaves, and flowers, in the U.S., only CBD drug product approved by the Food and Drug Administration is Epidiolex, which is used in the treatment of seizures. To be federally legal for consumer use, CBD products must be derived from hemp and contain no more than 0.3% THC. How, then, does the SARS-CoV-2 hijack the human body? Understanding how COVID-2 infects humans is a key component in combating the virus. Ongoing research since the onset of the pandas has described the multi-step entry process. In particular, the spike protein that is known to bind to a human protein known as AC2 receptor or angiotensin converting enzyme 2 to infect the humans. The AC2 is found on the surface of many cell types in the human body, which allows for plenty of targets for coronavirus to strike. Collectively, as cell entry inhibitors, that's why so many drugs, vaccines, and antibody therapies have targeted the spike protein. Once infected, the virus replicates itself to hijack the body, so to speak. Each of the studies we analyze look at these two components of viral infection and how CBD or hemp may influence either the virus's ability to infect cells or replicate once it has successfully invaded. The first public domain study, hemp compounds and their impact on coronavirus spike protein, to understand how hemp may prevent SARS-CoV-2 from entering human cells, researchers at the Oregon State University used a chemical screening technique known as affinity selection mass spectrometry, ASMS, to show how to prevent SARS-CoV-2 from entering human cells, but not actual humans. The ASMS allows certain compounds known as botanical ligands, in this case hemp, bind to selected targets such as a spike protein. Publishing their work in the peer-reviewed Journal of Natural Products, the team showed that two compounds found in hemp, cannabigerolic acid, CBGA, and cannabidiolic acid, CBDA, could successfully bind to the spike protein and prevent it from binding to the ACE2 in human cells, impairing the virus's ability to infect. Both CBGA and CBDA were equally effective against the alpha and beta coronavirus variants. The compounds were also effective against a pseudovirus that expresses a spike protein similar to the one found in the SARS-CoV-2. Study author Richard Van Breeman in a news release quotes, "These compounds can be taken orally and have a long history of safe use in humans. They have the potential to prevent as well as treat infection by the SARS-CoV-2. CBDA and CBGA are produced by the hemp plant and precursors to CBD and CBG, which are familiar to many consumers. However, they are different from the acids and are not contained in hemp products. Together, the findings show the potential to possibly treat and prevent infection, but the researchers caution that to use CBDA and CBGA could be used as a complement, not a substitution for prevention measures like antiviral treatments and experimental vaccines. Virus particles are shown emerging from surface of cells cultured in the lab. Spikes on the outer edge of the virus particle give coronaviruses their name, crown-like, nidalmer. This second study, CBD and its potential to halt the replication of SARS-CoV-2, a second study published in the peer-reviewed journal Science Advances, also concluded that CBD can inhibit the infection of SARS-CoV-2 in human cells and in mice, though again, not in humans. This time around, scientists at the University of Chicago treated human lung cells with a dose of CBD for 2 hours before exposing the cells to SARS-CoV-2 for monitoring for infection. While the treatment was not shown to prevent infection, it was shown to inhibit the virus's ability to replicate within 6 hours of cells being infected. CBD also had the same effect in two other types of cells. Three variants of the SARS-CoV-2 patent. Additionally, the team found that mice who were treated with CBD for 1 week before infection were also shown to suppress infection in the lungs and nasal passages, further suggesting that CBD may slow replication of the virus. Marcia Rosner, in a news release, the study author, quotes, CBD has anti-inflammatory effects, so we thought that maybe it would stop the second phase of COVID infection involving the immune system, the so-called cytokine storm. Surprisingly, it directly inhibited viral replication in lung cells. Finally, the team also analyzed the records of 1,100 patients from the National COVID Cohort Collaborative, a collection of clinical data related to COVID-19 in patients in the U.S. They found that those taking a medically prescribed oral solution of CBD for epilepsy tested positive for COVID-19 at lower rates than those who were not, which shows an association but not a causation. While CBD may offer a potential preventative and treatment for COVID-19, the research of both studies concluded that the future clinical trials and research are required to determine. Hello? Future clinical trials and research are required to determine whether CBD could actually treat or prevent COVID-19. Particularly, neither analyzed CBD in actual humans, but only in human cells, animals, and as part of a database analysis. Furthermore, neither study investigated potential risks associated with taking CBD and how consumption may impact certain populations, such as pregnant people. It should also be noted that CBD used in the studies was produced in high purity, specially formulated doses in specific situations, and not commercially available CBD products, many of which made with additives. In short, it's too early to tell whether CBD will help against COVID-19. That is an answer that further research hopes to find. In the meantime, CBD consumption is not to be used as a replacement for known protective measures like experimental vaccination and existing public health damnations. Curious about how Snopes Writers and Smoke News Radio will read this quack. All right. Good stuff. That was a lot. Good stuff. Okay. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. This one guy was just grabbing these packages. France is entering the medical cannabis industry. Tiptoes in. French government issues a decree last month that authorized the cultivation of medical cannabis and the development of its industry, and it went into effect on March 1st. And then a Kenya-bound pasture arrested at the airport with, you know, his 54 sticks of cannabis wrapped around his body. Just wrap some tie sticks around me. Heck, wham, was on. I'm just on a cruise. I carry weed with me, you know. It's a sacrament. So, I mean, you got to, at least on your body. Okay, and in South Africa, looks to cannabis, hemp industry, to help create jobs. And that's from the Bloomberg. Africa's most industrialized nation plans to streamline the regulatory process so that hemp and cannabis sector can thrive like it is in other countries, such as Lesotho, quotes President Cyril Ramaphosa in his State of the Union, State of the Nation address to lawmakers in Cape Town last Thursday. Most likely, either Thursday or three Thursdays ago. Most likely last Thursday. His announcement comes almost 6 months after the Agriculture Department unveiled a national strategy for the industrialization and commercialization of the cannabis plant, which is estimated the size of the local industry at 1.9 billion U.S., that's 28 billion rand. It's envisioned encouraging the cultivation of hemp and marijuana and increasing the volumes and variety produced for local and export markets within an effective regulatory system. And next from BBC, we got planned outline for the Isle of Man medicinal cannabis complex. You know, the firm is currently asking for views from the public on their plans. Project would see the construction of an atmospherically controlled building to develop high potency cannabis products for the pharmaceutical market, quotes Mr. Eves, The complex would include cultivation units protected by comprehensive security measures and research and development facilities. The development would bring specific education and employment opportunities to the island in a high-tech science research. Licenses for the production and export of medical cannabis on the isle have been available since June last year, and the Gambling Supervision Commission is responsible for regulating the sector. Mr. Eve said the law change, coupled with the zoning of Peel NRE's land of Brannan for employment use, has paved the way for the plans to progress. The firm has already held high-level talks with potential operators of the cultivation facilities who would need to apply for the license. An initial planning application submitted later this year. Iowa Man. From the OCCRP, Spain, busts transnational drug trafficking ring. Authorities in Albacete, Spain, have dismantled part of a sophisticated network dedicated to drug trafficking, highlighting the province's role as a power base for criminal groups that ties to other European countries. The string of raids across Iberian Peninsula culminated in 10 arrests, along with the seizure of 140 kilos of marijuana and 1 kilo of cocaine. March 7th, the Spanish National Police said authorities in Albacete had disbanded a drug trafficking operation following a six-month investigation. Antonio Bueno, Spanish police chief, said the group had three main activities: growing marijuana, exporting it to other countries, and distributing cocaine in Albacete. A string of raids across the Iberian Peninsula cultivated in these arrests. Group operated through a company in the cargo transport business, using the company's fleet of trucks and trailers to transport narcotics. Officials said members of the group used a nationwide network of partners and clients to move marijuana around Spain, Europe, and Western Asia. This network allegedly sent large amounts of the drug to Sweden, Lithuania, and Turkey. The police targeted five members linked to the three marijuana crops on the outskirts of Murcia and Albacete provinces earlier this year. Just before Christmas of last year, the leader of the organization was arrested carrying nearly a kilo of cocaine, which he allegedly intended to sell to a dealer in Alcatraz. Drug had been allegedly transported to Albacete, hidden in modified secret compartments on vehicles. Once in Albacete, the cocaine would be treated and supplied to various drug sales points throughout Albacete province. The interception was illuminated the way criminal actors throughout Europe have been relying on the Spanish Mediterranean coast as a base. Spanish authorities, however, say Spain may be declining in importance despite its historic role in principal entry point for cocaine into Europe. Other entry points such as Belgium, Netherlands, Italy, the United Kingdom, and Germany have all posted sharp increases in seizures. Global Initiative Against Organization Crime and Insight Crime have reported. All right. Thank you guys so much. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. See how this is going here. Of course, we're like exactly 1 minute. Trying to stay away from the commentary, but, you know, sometimes some people want to relabel things as they want to change the name. And I'm like, well, I should just change it back. You know, you say what the real name for something is. Not to insult people. It's like people, you do what you do, what you do. Basically, CBDA and CBGA, like fight the spiky. So if you got issues with your spiky, you better be eating lots of that stuff. This is how marijuana is going to save the world. Didn't even know. It's so cool. Man, I thought, like, well, is marijuana going to save the world? Oh, well, y'all drink Kool-Aid. Now here's the way to live and cure yourself. Just if you're pregnant, it's not good for the placenta. Very bad. It starves the baby. So be wonderful out there. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, with love. And here we go. Jack Johnson, anti-Ukrainian song.
A billion people die on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby,